Glad to be at this section of the book of Galatians. Would you turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 3? We'll look at the first five verses of Galatians 3 today. You are aware, I think, much of the background of the book of Galatians. Galatia is a territory, not a single church. It would include quite a few churches in a large section of what is now Turkey. So Paul was there, and we're going to reference just later on a little bit of his founding of these churches, but he was there, him and Barnabas, and they founded these churches. Paul was stoned to death in Lystra. Lystra is where Timothy lived. That's part of Galatia. So I remember that when you think about these people turning on Paul. Paul was stoned to death. And it was quite an ordeal to get these churches founded. So they're founded, though, nevertheless. And then the false teachers came to Galatia. When the false teachers came to Galatia, when they came to the homes and gatherings of the believers in the territory that we call Galatia, they were very surprised. There was love there, there was joy there, there was peace there, and wherever growing numbers of believers existed in this territory called Galatia, was a dramatic decline. And theft, dishonesty, sexual misconduct. In fact, as the false teachers looked at these congregations, they noticed that these people's tastes had changed. Far less drinking. Many of the people looked better physically. Their just physical, general bearing, something had changed. They looked better than they did formerly. What was additionally remarkable to the false teachers was that although these people seemed to be growing in religious zeal and some real knowledge of God, they were indeed surprised at this. This is unusual to see in a Gentile population, these people like this. And as the false teachers looked at it, they were surprised, but they were not pleasantly surprised. These Galatians are too free. These people have gone way too far from the religion of the Jews. They are not, we could say, really spiritual enough. Plus, the fact is, these people are multiplying. And if this keeps on, the future of Judaism is in jeopardy. And therefore, these false teachers, who sounded and looked like excellent teachers, as one person put it, dropped a neat package of ideas on the churches that went something like this. Pleasing God is just a matter of doing what He said. If we are faithful, if we perform, if we continue, then we will be holy and God will bless us. And we even have scriptures to show you about that too. Now, what could be better than that? Well, before we read the passage, I want to make this proposition about this passage and about this sermon, and that is this. This passage is about religious experience. It's all about experience. Here it is, right in the middle of a book called Galatians. So here's the proposition. Examine your religious experience. by asking the right questions. Would you notice, please, at the end of verse 1, there's a question mark. You see that? Look at the end of verse 2. Question mark. Look at the end of verse 3. Question mark. Look at the end of verses 4 and 5, both verses. What do you find? Question mark. I have them all highlighted to remind me. Those are questions. Well, my proposition, examine your religious experience by asking the right questions. False teachers can talk you out of the truth that you know in your head and have even experienced in your walk. And I am susceptible to these things, and you're susceptible to them. So I'd like to speak to you this morning on right questions regarding your spiritual experience. That's what the passage is about. Right questions about your spiritual experience. These may help you a great deal in going forward in the free, abundant grace of God, and this may help you help others, and it may help you avoid false teachers, and do not say, I can't be tripped up. Do not say that. That is not wise. So, let's read the passage. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We know three simple points. Who are you listening to? Why are you drawn to them? Number two, how did your spiritual experience begin? And what was bestowed? Number three, are you experiencing a supernatural results in your life? Miraculous results. So number one, notice this, verse one, there's a question about the people the Galatians are listening to. Who has bewitched you? So that's a question, first of all, about you and your own personal experience, is this, who are you listening to and why are you drawn to them? Well, we are here this morning, but it would also include the kind of books you read, the kind of podcasts, if you listen to podcasts, the kind of media you watch, and particularly religious things. In this case, look in the context here in Galatians, they were listening to false teachers who minimized Christ's redemptive work revealed in Paul's gospel. Well, they weren't denying that Paul had any religious knowledge and was no authority. They just said Paul has some problems, that Paul is a second-generation believer. He was not there with Christ when he took the 12 around training him. He lacks the Jerusalem anointing. He is not sent out by Jerusalem, and hasn't been there much. And he is wrong regarding justification, and he's confused about what Moses really said it means. And after all, Jesus say Moses wrote of me. And you can see that the Galatians are listening to teachers who are very different from Paul, or significantly different, we should say. That's their listen. So Paul has, we looked at the first two chapters there, and he makes this long defense, not for his own sake, but for their sake. Notice, please, verse 1, the Galatians had eyes full of the wrong things. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed? That is, as Paul went there, he preached the gospel to them, explained the scriptures to them in such a way it was placarded publicly and came with vivid enabling by the Spirit. And it was if they were there and saw it. It was what it means here is the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the substitutionary death, life, death, and ascension, and his redemptive completed work was made very conspicuous and clear to you. And your eyes used to be full of it. Now your eyes are full of something else. When, here's the thing, when Paul was in Galatia, the Galatians saw well. When he says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was born. In other words, they saw it. They saw the truth. They heard the truth. They received the truth. They were walking in the truth. You were running well, he'll tell them later. However, because of who they were listening to, they no longer hold to what Paul taught, or even to Paul as a true minister. He will tell them later in Galatians 4:16, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And the answer would be yes. Yes. I, your minister, who was prepared by God for you, who literally shed his own blood for them, I am now your enemy because false teachers have twisted your mind and you've taken bait. That is what happened. That isn't just what happened there. That happens endlessly. They no longer hold to what Paul taught, or even to Paul as a true minister. Would you notice verse 1? False teaching and false teacher possess a practically a bewitching, that is almost of a hypnotizing power. Possibly you can reflect on this in your own experience, you've seen it in people who you used to fellowship with, a church that used to be a good church, and you wonder what happened to them. I don't mean they have a little different idea on calling and effectual calling and some point about modesty or music. Those things, you know, are what they are. But I mean a serious, noticeable shift. Well, notice if you would, do you see that in verse 1? Who hath bewitched you? That is a strong grip has taken hold of you and you're headed in the wrong direction. And you don't have the gospel right anymore. And it is one thing to have a thing that's not really made that clear in Scripture, and there are such things as that, to have a point, an emphasis here or an emphasis there, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about foundational things. And notice what he says, who did this to you? This is a question that they both know the answer to. He asks it this way to communicate astonishment. Who did this? How'd you get in this condition? I've wondered that sometimes. And I've otherwise sensible, intelligent, rational people, how did you come to embrace this? False teachers have a bewitching, hypnotizing sort of power that should not be minimized. So what happened was this: these false teachers had a neat package of instructions on how to be holy and how to be blessed of the Lord. But truthfully, what they this neat package of instruction actually contained a Pandora's box of disasters that would had the capacity to unleash all manner of evil and depravity, yes, even in a Christian congregation. Now, let me bring it up. Let me just tell you, let me give you an example. A current day example of something very similar. Tell me how you think this, you don't have to tell me, but listen to this neat package. And this would be an institution that's involved and was involved probably and still in hundreds now, probably used to be thousands of churches among highly intelligent, committed people. So listen, I want to give you the package of the ideas, see what you think. And we're going to consider some of the basic principles of life. Here's one. How does this package sound? Design. God, I'm quoting, has a precise purpose for each person, object, and relationship he creates. As we understand and live in harmony with his design, we will discover self-acceptance, identity, and fulfillment in life. Authority. God assigns various responsibilities to parents, church leaders, government officials, and other authorities as we learn to acknowledge and honor these authorities. We can see God work through them to provide direction in our lives. Honoring authorities brings inward peace. How many of you would like to have lots of inward peace? Say amen. Amen. We're not done. Responsibilities. God holds us accountable for every word, thought, action, attitude, and motive. When we offend others, asking forgiveness and making proper restitution are essential steps to maintaining a clear conscience. Well, that's a neat package. And that neat package are the first three of Bill Gothard's seven basic principles of life. In these three and the next four, there are no mentions of Jesus Christ. None. There are no mentions of the Holy Spirit, not even one. And this neat package of ideas has not been a blessing by any stretch to a great number of people. That's all I'll say about that one. But the first question is, he's telling them right here in Galatians. He said, I've asked some questions for you about you, about your spiritual experience. Number one, who are you listening to? Why are you drawn to them? And this gentleman was this way because he's had a strong appeal to conservative people just like us. and has made huge inroads and I think has been a disaster. Would you notice number two? Look at how did you begin your spiritual life and what was bestowed? So look at verse 2. He asks another question. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? He's asking them about the commencement of their spiritual life and what was bestowed. How do you begin a spiritual life? Could I ask you please to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 10? And we can make things much harder and much more complex than they need to be. I have some very simple things to offer you this morning that I think I hope will be helpful in a very definite way. I realize there will always be some things that are complex, but let's just consider this question since it's right there in Galatians. It's asked to me. It's asked to you. He asks it this way. How did your spiritual life begin? And what was bestowed? Okay, that's the question. All right. If you look at Acts chapter 10, and I just want you to read from the scriptures and see what you think. Here's Peter again, and he's been summoned to a Gentile's house. And he's not used to going to Gentile's house. This is very shocking. This is very new. He has to be shown, and he's going to eat there, and God had to tell him, three times, Peter, arise, slay, and eat. In other words, foods that you weren't formerly allowed to eat. You are now. He said, no, no. He said, yes, yes. Now I've made this decree. I'm done with that law now. It had its purpose then. I don't have it now. And now you're going on to something else. And I want you to go with those men when they come. So they come. And look at verse 34. We'll pick up there. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. And God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen by God, even us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Okay, the second question, we're going to read those verses, is this. How did your spiritual experience begin and what was bestowed? All right, let's read a little more. Peter is explaining the gospel, right? Peter is explaining the gospel to Gentiles who have none of the Mosaic law. Keep reading. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, and the people were sitting there exactly like you are this morning. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, Peter's attendants, the brethren who came along to help and to watch, were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. Well, that's you. We don't have any Jews here, as far as we know. I don't know all your genealogies. As far as I know, we're all Gentiles. And he said, so how did your experience begin? How does a genuine experience begin? Okay, they're seated there, they're listening, and they're comprehending what they're listening. While they're seated there, listening and comprehending, just sitting there, they're in. They believed unto righteousness, and right there, the Spirit of God came on them and in them, and the people, and it was so noticeable, the Jews said, wow, look at that. They're in. And Peter says, well, look at what Peter says. So are they complete yet? What happened to these people? What did they receive? Just read a little more. Those of the circumcision, those are Jews, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Now, these people believed the gospel. And upon believing, without doing anything, the Spirit of God was upon them. That's how it began. What did they receive? They received all that salvation is. They weren't half justified. They weren't half forgiven. They weren't 90% justified, 90% forgiven. They were fully, finally, fully forgiven of all their sins, justified, sealed, indwelt, true children, adopted into the family of God. They're true children of God, seated with Him. Just like that. Well, I showed you... let's look at one other, yet one more. Would you turn over to Acts 13? And I want to make a comment in a moment about the picture of the little three little girls and Derek. We'll come back to those in just a minute. But I want to ask you we're considering the right questions regarding your spiritual experience. Now, if you want to get Galatians right, and you want your walk to stay right and to grow, you need to ask these questions. Well, first one, who are you listening to? What draws you to them? I mention that because I not long ago took a book I used to publish, sell, or have for people over in the bookstore, and I read it. I still think it has some good things in it by Tim Keller. But Tim Keller has taken some serious, atrocious turns. He's a genius. That man has a genius mind. But just because you got a genius mind does not, and that you are a Christian, does not mean you will stay on track. I pulled that thing out and said, I don't want to. I have another book on there written by Presbyterian Calvinist contemporaries of his. They talk about, we're trying to engage Tim Keller. We're trying to bring him back. It's just a little side note there. So let's look again. I want to just make this clear to you. Okay, now, how did you begin a spiritual life, and what was bestowed to you? Now, that's a good question. You should reflect on that. Okay. That's the second question. How did you begin a spiritual life? What was bestowed? Well, let's look at one more. Would you turn, please, to Acts 13? And would you look at verse 46 to 48? So, verse 46 of chapter 13, and this is in Galatia. We're in Galatia. This is where he took it, where he took the gospel, and he did honor the Jews. He went to them first. And let's read there. Verse 46. We'll just read a few verses down to 48 and 52. Verse 46, Acts 13. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now, when the Gentiles heard this, now the Gentiles, you understand, are those are the Galatians. They have no temple, they have no priest, they have no animal sacrifices, they have no food laws, they have no none of the ceremonies. Now, when the Gentiles, verse 48, heard this, they were glad, glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And when you look at the last verse of verse 52, of chapter 13, verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with, could you say it together? The Holy Ghost. That's how their spiritual life began. It began by them hearing and believing. That's all they did. And what was bestowed? Well, all that salvation is was bestowed. Well, here's the little picture. You can see Jesse squished in there. I think that's the charm of the picture, really, And there's Brittany and Jen, is five there, and Jesse and Derek. Well, I just want you to look at that picture just for a moment. Maybe this will, I hope it won't distract you. But what are you looking at in this picture? Is you're of course looking at four fully human people. Those are little people, but they're all, you got it in hand, you got to say that much. Whatever you're looking at there, you're looking at four totally complete people. Full human beings. Now, they are little people, but they're complete. We'll take Derek. Derek's on the end here. I don't know. But if you see Clarence and say, "What do you let that little fellow dress in pink for?" But anyway, Derek is fully a son. He knows he can grasp a lot of that. Probably does not grasp a lot about what it means to be a father, but he can grasp it, sort of, pretty much. He's a full citizen of the United States. I bet he doesn't understand anything about citizenship. He said, "Derek, do you know you're a citizen of the United States?" He said, "Well, if you say so, I guess it is probably so." He doesn't know what citizenship is. He is one. All these kids possess a social security number. They don't know what that is either. But I assure you, Jen and Jess had one. By the time they were 3 and 5, they had Social Security. They're in the computer system. They're in a database. They all had a birth certificate. Every one of them had a birth certificate in Richmond. Each one of these kids is entitled by law. They don't know it, but they're entitled by law to use the public schools. Every one of them is entitled to that. Each one of these kids is protected by many laws on the books of the Commonwealth of Virginia. There's really a lot of them. I remember being over here at this gas station one time with the had Lance. He was real small, just a horrible person. I mean, I think this guy was demon-possessed. He looked at Lance, and Lance looked at him. And I thought, oh, no. Now, I suppose I could have, or if Joy had taken Lance and met this crazy guy, she could have called the police and said, I'm in danger, my child's in danger. And the police would come and said, in this town, you're not allowed to do that. Your children are protected. Well, that one just passed, for which I'm thankful. But the point I wanted to make is, though these little ones they're just little people with a bare understanding about their existence, lots of things are true about them that are very significant. They don't know about them, but they're very significant. That is also true with salvation. You might be interested to know Derek, see there, little guy there dressed in pink. Derek, my understanding is, became a sniper in Afghanistan. So he put off the pink and watch out for Derek. Well, the point is, and you can see his life went on to something much different than what you see here. And so it is with, as we begin a Christian experience, these believers, they received Christ. How much did they know? Well, they knew they were sinners. They knew Jesus died for them. They knew something happened to them, but I doubt they could explain that much. And they needed to explain to them, to unpack what salvation is. What did you receive? Now I want to ask you, what was bestowed to you in salvation? Well, you say your sins were forgiven, you're justified. Well, what else? You were son placed, you were daughter placed, you were fully reconciled, welcomed at the throne of grace, united with other believers, sealed in some sense, guaranteed some likeness to Christ at the end of your journey. And as you continue your journey, that's really what predestination means, that it's a destiny chosen beforehand about your character. He's going to train you. He's going to shape you. Why don't people know more about their salvation? Why is it just so painfully obvious that so many true children of God know no more about their salvation than Derek and Brittany and Jen and Jesse knew about citizenship and stuff like that? Why is that? I'm going to tell you why it is. The reason we do not know more about what was bestowed on us at salvation is because distractions and because seductions, religious seductions, are practically omnipresent. That's why. There are so many religious entrees. There are so many distractions. Indeed, Newton wrote well that song we sing, what hindrances we meet, don't we? How many of you are satisfied with your prayer life in the last month, that you've done all the praying you should really have done? You know prayer works. Well, this is the last question, the last thing I'll ask you about this point. This section of Galatians, you can turn back please to Galatians 3. This section of Galatians is talking to believers like me and like you, and he's asking you questions about your spiritual experience. He asks you this question, who are you listening to? Why are you listening to them? They listen to the Galatians' false teacher because it was a neat package of ideas that sounded great and even had scripture. You know, Moses said this. We've been doing this 1,500 years. The food laws. And it sounded right. And we somehow, doesn't your conscience tell you that, you know, there's probably a lot of things that I'm going to give account for in my life, and I just hope it goes well. And so the idea of, look, we're going to be thorough in this neat package of ideas. Okay, who he listened to and why. Number two, how did you begin a spiritual life? Okay, you began a spiritual life, if you've begun one at all, by pure grace. By believing. And the Spirit of God comes on all believers. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then you're not a believer yet. You're an intellectual believer, but you're not a possessing. And that brings us to the last thing, just briefly. Number three, look at your text there in Galatians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was vain? He's talking again about their experience. So don't you remember the difficulties you had to get started, to hang on? Don't you remember the blessings that came to you and that you endured, and now that wasn't the right message after all? Now look at verse 5, please. Then he answered this one. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to you, that is God. God is the one who supplies the Spirit to you. And works miracles among you. Does he do it by works of the law or by hearing of faith? So, and the answer is by hearing of faith. Did any of these believers, did any of the Galatians, in other words, have miracles happen in their life because they stopped eating pork? Or they put the little ribbon of blue. The Jews had to wear a ribbon of blue. So he asked them, he said, now, the miraculous things that happened, did they happen on the basis of something you did? Like works of the law. And well, what about that? Are you seeing anything miraculous in your life? I don't mean about tongues. I mean about the transformation of your character. Things that used to would drive you crazy now don't drive you crazy. Things you used to hate, you're beginning to accept. Any supernatural changes? Let me ask you to turn, and we'll conclude shortly, I think. I want to ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 45. And I want to use this that I gleaned from William Romaine in his great sermon, The Lord Our Righteousness. And I want to make, in conclusion, a practical suggestion from this passage. I want to ask you to look at it. And I want to ask you to adopt a spiritual kind of receiving that will bring miracles where they need to happen. My character and your character should be a supernatural thing. You were baptized, you were named by God in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We call that the Trinity. If you're a true believer, isn't it so that you should today be experiencing and exhibiting Trinitarian salvation? How many think that's so? It's so. Indeed, it's so. Now, I want to show you a simple way that you might have more of that, more transformation, and how you might skip neat packages of works that will really end up in bondage. Okay, would you look at Isaiah 45, and would you look, please, at verse number 8. I want to urge you to think of yourself as this passage tells you to think of yourself, as dry ground, unable to produce crops, or we could call it fruit of the Spirit. Love, you know, when the Galatian false teachers came to Galatia, they came to help little groups like this, bigger groups, and they said, look at that. They couldn't deny it. There's love here. Gentiles. There's peace here. These people have joy. These people quit drinking. These people look better. These places used to be rife with sexual impurity. No more. There's no temple here. There's no priests here in robes. There's no sacrifices. They don't even have the food laws. Look at them, though. They're alive. They're alive with spiritual life. They didn't used to be like this. What happened to these people? Okay, here's what happened to them. Look at Isaiah 45, verse 8. These people realized when the apostles told them and said, you're Gentiles. You're guilty before God. Your greatest crisis is you have no righteousness, as in zero. Dear people, that is, nothing has changed. Your neighbors don't know that. Your neighbors have like this much righteousness before God. Zero. For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Those people not only don't have any righteousness, they have no ability. It's not only a righteousness crisis, a righteousness famine, there's no ability. There's no ability to produce it. Zero. What do they receive at salvation? Look at the verse. Rain down, God is talking here, you have to follow the images. Rain down, you heavens from above, that's where God is. And let the skies pour down righteousness. God is pictured as pouring down righteousness that He's created. Keep reading. Let the earth open. Now, how do you receive? What does dry, barren, lifeless ground have to do to receive rain? It's passive. How do you take a shower? Yeah, you do have to turn the water on, but once the water's on, you're passive. It's just coming down. There is such a thing as the Spirit of God coming to you, helping you understand you're guilty, aren't you? Yes, I am. You're powerless, aren't you? Yes, I am. You can't grow those crops, can you? Even when somebody gives you a neat package of ideas about, I can't keep all those ideas. Those are good ideas. No, I don't. What am I going to do? This is how you receive. Look at this picture. Let the earth open. What happens when dry ground gets a lovely heavenly shower of rain, then what happens to the ground? Look at the picture. This will happen to you. Of course, it would have to humble you, wouldn't it? You'd have to actually agree with God and say, you know, I really don't have any righteousness. I really don't have any power to do these things either. And what you're asking me to do is right. I lack the ability. And I don't even have the desire to do it. But the new creature, receiving grace for your deepest recesses, or he creates new desires. That is what the new birth does. We need way more than a new set of rules, folks. You can have infinite end of rules that'll do no good. It won't change anything, even if they're good rules. You need life. So notice what it says. Let earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created. He said, I've created a way to take you who have no righteousness and no ability to give you all the righteousness you need and put the Spirit of God in you, and you can be righteous. Well, these are questions, so I want to ask you this question in conclusion. Number three. The first one, we have, who are you listening to? What draws you to him? How did your spiritual life begin? You saw how the Gentiles, they sat there. And it was like Isaiah 35. Right there, where they're sitting, they were lost before the sermon started. They were saved when the sermon ended. By listening and believing. It's that simple? That simple. All right, now. Is there any miracles in your life? Well, I don't mean speaking in tongues. We think those are authenticating gifts. Would you say there's any miraculous patience in your life? You know, that's a fruit of the Spirit. And how many really patient people do you know? How about this one? This fruit of the Spirit is love. By the way, that one collects all of them, doesn't it? Really, that's Galatians 5:14 says, love fulfills the law. That's the whole thing. That's the first thing. I could just ask you this. Is there supernatural love in your life? That's a miracle. You were born a selfish person. This comes out more conspicuously in some than others. But it's there. Now, is it happening? How about, I like what one person says, that patience doesn't make that much news down here, that the molars and the nickels and the matuskas have patience. And Phyllis and Kathy have patience. Well, that doesn't belong in the headlines. It does in heaven. Ron too. All born depraved. All born self-centered. And he says, look. Now, the newspaper wouldn't say that, but God in heaven would say, look at that. Formerly depraved. Look at them. Genuine patience. Genuine kindness. Genuine self-control. Look at that. You know what? There are many people who are living on substitutes who won't humble themselves before God, and they have all these agendas to make things work, and they're not working. But they should be able to meet believers and say, like the false teachers who said, these people have real love. These people have genuine peace. This is not an act. They have real joy. There's long suffering. These are good people. The goodness. So you get the idea. Turn in your songbook to 249. That's not the one we're going to sing. But I do want to make a suggestion. This is just a suggestion. But if you can sing "Just As I Am" without one play, you really understand Galatians. You might not understand God is one and the mediator is one, but you understand the bigger picture. And I frequently sing this song in the shower. Not at the end of the service, although sometimes that. But this is a good way to start the day. "Just as I am, without one play." Well, that sounds, doesn't that sound like dry ground, like where nothing will grow? Well, that's, I'm going to just tell you, that's your biography. I hate to tell you that, but that's so. Without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
And apart from this, no man can say Jesus is Lord without who? See, without the Holy Spirit. You're a very dependent person. That's the point. And that's what Charlotte Elliott was pointing out. "Just as I am, without one play, I don't have any excuse for my condition. Why I'm so impatient. Why I'm so... even with people I should know better with. Why I don't have more love. Why I don't have more self-control. Well, just as I am, without one plea, but let thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind sight, riches, healing of the mind." There are Christians today who are being attacked by seductive teachers. They don't even realize it. And there are Christians today being pulled apart inside. And they need healing of the mind. "Yea, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come." Galatians has one responsibility for you. One. One main one, we could say. God has, this is the responsibility He's laid on you every day. Faith. That's the one prominent responsibility He holds before you. I expect you, number one, to believe me. There's one object of your faith. The God of grace, or the grace of God. And there's really one fruit that He's looking for. And that's love. Love fulfills you, all those laws, all of them in the one. Faith, grace, love. In your songbook, it says, "Take time to be holy." It does take time to be holy. It takes time to grow into these things. But I want to urge you today to present yourself before God like Isaiah 45:8 says, "Lord, apart from you, I'm dry ground and I can't grow anything. But if you're in your grace, you rain, pour down righteousness and pour down your spirit, I can produce something. And it'd be noticeable, it'd be really useful." Let's bow for prayer. And as we conclude this morning, would you just thank the Lord if He's helped you understand afresh your true identity? You're dry ground apart from Him. You're not going to produce anything. Not anything really good. But in Christ, you're going to have, "Lord, pour down righteousness on me. Pour down a shower of the Spirit's help, enabling." So, Lord, we ask that we would be supernatural people with miraculous patience, miraculous goodness, kindness, peace, even in these terribly troubling times. We ask if you have people in the wake of these hurricanes, that you would enable them to experience supernatural salvation in the midst of these terrible circumstances. We bless your holy name that the promise is good, that someday all this will be fixed. Till then, we ask you, Lord God, help us to continue coming back to asking the right questions regarding our spiritual experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Titus, if you would come, would you? And let's sing, Take Time to Be Holy. I think it's 3.